This is Jerry Webb with Best Sermon Ever. Well, welcome. Glad you're tuning in today to hear this next episode of Best Sermon Ever. It's been a fun summer so far. We're almost August. I can't believe it. Summer is passing by so quickly. I've taken several weeks off as kind of a little mini sabbatical. I'm ready to get back to it. I've got a great interview today with a longtime friend from Illinois. He's in Kansas now. I'm in Michigan now. But we had a great several years together serving the Lord at different churches in Illinois. I was in one Church of God in the little city of Galesburg. He was in the other Church of God, not my camp, a whole different camp of Church of God, Church of God Cleveland, Tennessee. I'm Church of God Anderson. We had a great relationship, and we've struck it up again to come here today and talk to you about preaching. So let's listen to Jeff. All right. Well, Jeff, thanks for being here with us today. Jeff Barkley is the lead pastor at Christ Community Church in Lawrence, Kansas. I'm glad to have him here with us today. He's got some stuff that will help you. Now, he might not think so, but he does. I know him. He's got stuff that will help you. What do our listeners need to know about you?
Father of seven children, one deceased, a soon-to-be grandfather of 15 grandchildren, married happily for 39 years and 1 month. Jerry, don't overwhelm anybody, but my resume is pretty diverse. Worked as a commercial diver my way through a Division III college, track across country guy. I've been a head college track coach at my alma mater, Illinois Wesleyan, taught public school. You probably know this story, taught creationism, given the left foot of fellowship from that public school. Out of work, teacher, what do? You become a pastor, start a church, and that's how I went in the ministry.
Oh, wow.
You're doing that in a central Illinois town, Bloomington, Illinois. Then we met, then when I moved to Galesburg, had a great run there for 15 years, and helped with the Christian school there. First year it got going, and taught chemistry and physics in alternating years, a worldview class, and you were my boss.
I was.
For that last year, and through default, I became the head basketball coach that year. Do you remember that?
I do.
And I guess, yeah. Jerry, tongue-in-cheek, I'll say this. When I saw that you could be a school administrator, I decided I could be a school administrator.
Well, you know, talk about someone who was totally unqualified for a job. That was me. As a Christian school administrator, I just tried to love people and keep the ship upright. And beyond that, I depended on you, well, teachers.
Remember, I used to come in to make sure you knew I'd actually been there.
Yes.
And interrupt your day. And after I became a school administrator for the 5 years, which is what brought me here to Lawrence, Kansas, at a classical Christian school, people would come in, hey, can they just walk into my office being friendly? But they were interrupting me. And I interrupted you every morning, and I apologize.
Trust me, brother. I looked forward to it.
Okay.
I shouldn't admit why I looked forward to it, but here's part of why. It's not all of why, but part of why is when you were not in the building, I was the only adult male there.
Well, when I was administrator at the Christian school here, there were 23 female teachers and three guys, and yeah, but I learned a lot, and wasn't a great experience for you.
I just lost all of my female listeners to my podcast. That comment, but
he was a great leader.
I tried, and I enjoyed it most days. But you know, it's like every job; they're not always. But we're not here to talk about me. We're here to talk about you, and that resume is why I wanted you to be on today. You know, one of the things that I'm trying to do with this podcast is just talk to guys like you and like me who have to preach every week and know what that's like and how that is. We're pastors, and some of us are better than others at preaching. Some of us are better at pastoral care. I'm not looking for everybody who comes on here to be a superstar preacher. Now, that's not saying you aren't. I'm just saying I want average people that have some diversity of life that can help us to do well. So let's get started with this. I was looking at your church's website, and you actually have a paragraph intro there to help people know what to expect from your preaching. That's kind of rare on church websites I look at, and I was impressed by it. But okay. one of the sentences said that you're preaching, or whoever preaches at your church, if it's, I'm sure it's not always you, that your goal is to be interesting, engaging, and relevant to daily life. Now, you also talk about the truth of the Bible, and I know your heart, so that's true too. But interesting, engaging, and relevant to daily life. Talk to us about how you accomplished that.
You gotta stay Christ-centric. You absolutely have to stay Christ-centric and always get back to that. But I'm an object lesson guy. Maybe some of my science teaching background or my youth ministry days when I was doing camp meetings for kids and you know, summer camps. It's always in the back of my mind, the world that we're living in, how to respond to that. The gospel is always relevant, but I need to make sure my sermons are relevant. So I'm listening to culture all of the time. Actually, I'm learning in this community. It's a very different community than where we both lived before. We lived in a blue-collar factory town. Mm-hmm. This is a college town, very left of center in its total orientation. We're the Boulder of no offense to Boulder, love Boulder, love to visit there, but we're the Boulder of Kansas, and they pride themselves in that. Keep, you know, Waco wacky and keep Lawrence, Kansas weird. That's the saying here. And so that's a challenge to me. So always listening to people. I've learned to become a much better listener here than I probably was in Galesburg. And then I'm in the pulpit. I'm animated. I worry sometimes that my passion gets in front of the information. But I rarely have people say that was boring.
So interesting, engaging, relevant. You do that primarily by listening, paying attention to the culture. What's emerging in the culture where you live?
Well, the political climate in the country, it's a figurehead here, and so frankly, very different from my previous town. I work a lot in government. Actually, I do some volunteer work in Topeka, and do some lobbying work. But I don't bring that to the pulpit, and many of the church folks don't even know that I'm involved with that. So. I'm staying away from politics much more than I ever did in my previous town.
You did not stay away from politics.
No, not even close. But I was given high fives for doing that. And let me share this. One thing that happened to me where I was before I went into Christian education as a school administrator was I would preach. They would say, Pastor, you gave the devil a black eye today. And I thought, you know, that's never been my goal. My goal has been to make disciples and I got tired of being right. That was a phrase I used when I moved here. I got tired of being right because that's not the goal, is for me to be right. The goal is to engage the culture and to make disciples that can make disciples that can make disciples. And if I don't want to go, Jesus gave the devil the black eye. I don't have to worry about that. I need to preach from a position of victory rather than reacting to.
Okay.
And that's changed my preaching. Maybe not as much as it needs to, but I do know that my mindset's totally different than it was.
Okay.
Back.
Okay. Somebody's listening to us that's sitting there saying, I need to be paying more attention to the culture. Give them a tip or two.
I'm a blog reader. I mean, there's some books in front of me that I'm reading right now, but I am a voracious blog reader. And I listen to everyone and everything. National Public Radio is on one of my presets. CNN, Fox News, and then all the bloggers. But you've got to be so discerning, as you know.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely discerning what you're reading. But, you know, one of your guests maybe recently, no, it was another podcast you just listened to. 72% of conservatives only have conservative friends. 73% of progressives only have progressive friends. We've got to break out of that silo. And if there's any way I can do that in my preaching or that person who's listening who realizes, wow, I'm preaching in the silo, got to have some unchurched friends. We just do.
Well, I think that one's huge.
Come a ghetto so quickly. I know that the enemy of our souls was he was okay with them hanging out in the upper room. When they spilled out in the streets, right?
Mm-hmm.
They became a force to be reckoned with. And therein is part of the challenge in my preaching. we want to be a Christ-centered church, but externally focused as a congregation. And so we don't want Sunday mornings to be the end result, the cul-de-sac of our experience. But what happens in that pulpit, let's face it, people come for the, you know, who's your preacher? I mean, they ask that question. And so don't you feel that pressure every Sunday morning when the attendance is down or up? Must be my preaching, must not be my preaching. And to live under that, that's tough, right?
Wow, it is. And thank you. You know, you have already given gold in this interview. So relax. The get out of the cul-de-sac of our experience. Come on now. Yeah, that's worth hearing today. And thank you for that. How about real quick, one or two blogs that I ought to read?
Oh my, you've caught me off guard.
Okay. Send me an email. I'll put it.
I'll do that because I have a diversity of them, people that I may or may not agree with. Yes, I'll do that. Some of the missional church folks that are working hard to be relevant within the community, I listen to them because I need to learn from those young guys. I really do. And some of them are older, but I need to listen to those guys and learn from them. Some that I have learned, and I'm speaking generally now. I hope this is helpful. I've got a friend of mine that I listen to him regularly. His church is called a safe church. By that he means we're not going to judge anybody. Well, that helped us define ourselves as a church in my preaching. We're going to be a safe church too, but we're going to be as safe as a doctor's office. So you can sit in the lobby as long as you want. But if you come into the doctor's office, sanctuary, and you raise your hand, how can Jesus help me? We're going to give you a diagnosis, but a wonderful healing prescription. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Love the imagery of that.
Okay.
Let's talk about some other challenges. One of your challenges being relevant and staying in touch with the culture. But what's some other challenges that keep you searching?
Narrowing the focus. Having been in education, I was a science teacher before I was a pastor. You know, four learning styles: random, abstract, sequential, linear. I am a random, abstract learner. And I bring that personality to the pulpit. I can take random abstract ideas. I'm the puppy that wants to smell that tree and enjoy every experience. And then I sequence, then I make it linear. The typical listener on a Sunday morning maybe isn't prepared to do that exercise. So tightening the focus and a sermon that's linear and sequential that builds is one of my big challenges. It truly is. I'm now preaching from, it doesn't look like I'm reading a manuscript when I'm preaching, but it's a front and back outline that is sequential, that is linear. And that's helped me tremendously. We also have some English second language speakers here. Having that available has been priceless as well. We do get internationals attending here because of the university, and we do a lot of work in Cuba. So we have Spanish speakers here too. So,
yeah. Okay. Anything else? Narrow focus? What else?
I set myself up for criticism because I ask for it. It's rarely easy for me to default to stories about me, only because they're there. And I've been here long enough now. Honestly, we have this joke here. We don't want to hear about that other town you were in. And that's speaking of the town that you and I were in. Keep your stories fresh, Jeff. Keep them timely. Don't default to the easy ones. I remember I took Stephen Alford's class years ago. If you can't illustrate it, don't preach it. But there's default illustrations that I can go to. Okay. And when I get off my notes, that's usually when I end up being criticized at the end of a sermon.
All right. Good stuff. Here's the number one reason I wanted to talk to you today, Jeff. I know that you have a big family, you do a lot of things, you've shared that with us in your bio, but you know, 15 years ago, 16 years ago, when we were in the same town, you had all your kids still at home, you were pastoring the church, you were working in the community in probably more ways than I even know about, just serving in different kinds of things, you were teaching at a Christian school, a class or two, you were coaching, and you were able to continue to preach and continue to serve? How did you balance all of that out and remain an effective communicator?
Hopefully when I'm present in any activity, I'm fully present at that moment. And for example, my prep time, I was working my doctorate during part of the time that we knew each other.
Yes.
And so, you know, those days would begin about 4:30 in the morning, and that morning time was precious prep time. That's my prayer and prep time for sermons. And then I'm also a voracious note taker. You may remember even when we were meeting as a pastoral group, I tended to have a piece of paper beside me all the time, writing things down. And so now with the phone, you know, speaking notes to myself, the joy of being a type A random abstract, undiagnosed ADHD adult, I'm continually observing, writing down, taking notes. So my prep time is precious first thing in the morning. I rarely get to do sermonizing when I get to the office. Mm. You know, it's like being a soldier, being in the office. Yeah. There's these moments, brief moments, well, what should I do? But then the war breaks out and you're looking for the forks for the church dinner all of a sudden, you know, where the phone rings. So when I'm prepping, but I'm also listening, jotting things down all of the time. And then when it's time to be a dad, I really worked hard to be a dad.
And I'd like you to expand on that a little bit too. You know, the focus of our podcast is to be good preachers and become better preachers, but you're not a good preacher, you're not a good pastor if your family's not in good shape. And you had 6 kids living at home when I knew you. Now they're grown and gone, but you got soon to be 15 grandchildren. And one of those children was special needs, and she required extra attention.
She just graduated from high school and passed the written class of driver's ed last night.
All right. That's fantastic.
19 years old, and so now she's got a restricted permit. I don't know if she'll ever drive alone or not, but she's just a beautiful young woman.
What an accomplishment.
And she passed classroom driver's ed last night.
So how did you and Cindy keep sanity at home, keep engaged with the kids and with each other as husband and wife, with all the other stuff that you were involved in?
We did family devotions every day. We were homeschooling part of that time, but then, you know, some of the boys went, and Sarah graduated from the Christian school there in Galesburg. But we did family devotions every day. And with hyperkinetic boys, we did something called color devotions. So I would pass out color pages, but we would do devotions, you know, honestly, every day, except on weekends, Saturdays and Sundays, we didn't. I, you know, being a pastor has wonderful pros and cons, but I was able to arrange my schedule to be their soccer coach for that hour with the YMCA and to be their God's Little League. Remember that back in the community we lived in? And I was, you know, their coach. We didn't practice often, so I was able to be with them. And then being the administrator of the Christian school, well, the administrator had to be at all the basketball games, you know, had to be at the football games, had to be at the volleyball games, and my kids were in all those things. And so when they're competing in theater or drama or music, daddy got to be there too. So I found ways as a pastor to take advantage of my position. And they would go with me to the hospital. They hated the nursing homes, but some of them go with me to the nursing homes. And when we did, when I was in the Church of God, the other Church of God, you know, there's only
one from the one I'm in. Yeah.
But yeah. The other one. And my wife and I, our summers were spent doing summer camps. And so our kids were the drama people. They were the puppeteers. They helped with worship. And so we just included the kids in the warp and woof of our lives. And it worked. I mean, we have teenage challenges. Like everybody else, but I never let anyone say to my kids, they're preacher kids. They shouldn't. I said, no, they are our children. They're God's kids. And we never put pressure on our children to perform because I was the pastor. We intentionally never did that. And I don't think none of my children, I think, would say that. A lot of pastors do that, you know. And also, Jerry, we didn't move. We raised our kids. I turned down promotions, you know, in the denomination I was in. If you behave for 2 years, you can move up, so to speak, without really producing anything where you're at. And I said no to some notable, what most people would say were promotions. I want you to be my boss someday, so I stayed.
Well, I became your boss because we didn't want to move. And yeah. It was about, actually, when that happened, it was, the kids were already in college, but it was for Linda. She wanted to stay in the job she was in.
And I'm not speaking disparagingly of the men that move.
No, I know you're not.
If the family's on board with that, I would be too. But we have if we ever open a store, it'll be called Families Are Us.
Yeah.
Toys Are Us. Yeah. That would be the name of the store my wife would open, Families Are Us.
Cool. Well, I understand that. You know, that my previous church in this town where we pastored together was challenging. And there were several times I came home to Linda and said, I need to move. And she would look at me and say, let's get the kids through high school.
Yeah.
And we did. And it was good for the kids. Wasn't necessarily good for me, but it was the right thing to do.
Well, I remember thinking that's probably where I would live, you know, serve out rest of my life. I was also, you know, administrative work in the denomination, but I was surprised when I felt the Lord releasing us. And what I learned through that is I thought I moved to the town we were in because they needed me, and I realized that I needed that town for my Christian maturation. Wow. And coming here to Lawrence, Kansas, I said it the right way. I need to go to Lawrence for my Christian maturation and my Christian transformation. And I never thought I'd go back into the pulpit because I was being successful in school administration. And when I decided that I had started the high school and had done what I was supposed to do at that school, I told my wife, I think I'm going to find another school. I was speaking nationally in education. And she said, well, if you want to live with me, you need to find a job in this town if you're going to leave that school. but every step I've done in my life, I've needed that step for my maturation. Naively, I thought they needed me, but I needed it.
Jeff's looking at me in a video right now, and he sees the stacks of books behind me. But if someone listening is questioning about when to move, when not to move, I would suggest an older book now. I think it's still in print, but The Making of a Leader by Bobby Clinton.
I know of the book.
He was a professor at Fuller Seminary, and that book just really does a good job of helping you see the different stages of your growth and why you would need to stay or leave a place and when those opportunities would be right. It was really helpful to me.
If there's younger pastors, I'll be 63. If there's younger pastors listening, begin studying leadership early. I did not do that.
Yeah.
I've always led, but I didn't make leadership a study. And I regret that. I started doing that actually just for became administrator of a Christian school. Yeah. I should have been studying that, you know, Maxwell's materials and all kinds of things on leadership.
It helps. No, okay. My. Two more things that I think are important for you to reflect on for our audience. One of them, I think they're already catching, but in all of the stress and upbeat busyness of your life, I have never seen you without a smile on your face. Never, ever. I've never seen you without a positive attitude, even when things were challenging. Now, I'm sure there are moments you're human, but how do you keep an upbeat attitude, and how does that impact your preaching?
I became a Christian my sophomore year in college, and I was living in a fraternity. There was one out of the closet believer in our fraternity, and I went to him. I said, I want to become a Christian. He was involved in the Navigator ministry.
Okay.
That moment, I mean, he had a stack praying for someone to get saved in a fraternity. He gave me the topical memory system and a book on how to do devotions. And Jerry, that has never left me. When we were at St. Jude's before she passed away of eye cancer, I remember getting up at 6 a.m, go do my devotions before a God that I didn't think even loved me anymore. Mm. But I knew I needed to be in his presence. And so my Christian maturation, my attitude, I really is a reflection of the experience that I have with God on a daily basis. I am a type A person, upbeat person, but I have learned over time to differentiate between the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life and caffeine. I do overlap sometimes, and that's dangerous. But so I give it to my devotion life, to be honest. It's just His mercies are new every morning, and I'm refreshed every morning. Our world was rocked. Bethany, who you mentioned has Down syndrome, was born the exact same day as Kristen, who passed away July 23rd, believe it or not.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
I probably knew that at one point.
Her diagnosis rocked our world, but all I knew was, Jesus asked the disciples, are you going to leave too? Well, where else would we go? We're not getting this. We're not understanding it. But where else would we go? And Jesus is my default. I mean, he's my screensaver. He's my lifesaver.
So you talked about topical memory system. Are you still memorizing scriptures?
Not as much. I and all my scripture memory verses are the King James Bible.
Yeah.
But they're there right now. I often quote scripture in my sermons, and I realize, wow, that was the seventh one I memorized. I've, like you probably preached a long time, I have vast portions paraphrased memorized.
Right.
That's another thing in my preparation. I read multiple translations because in our congregation, every translation is open in their Bible, either probably in their phones more so than in their Bibles.
Right. Yeah.
New Living Translation, ESV, NIV, King James, I'm working through all of those. So my devotion life has been priceless to me.
Okay.
And
some of that attitude thing, I'm sure, knowing you, it's just your personality. It's how the Lord wired you. But personality alone doesn't do it. It's that daily.
No, it can be. And I had some health problems. I mean, I work hard at staying fit, but 4 years ago, I thought I was having a heart attack. But it was my type A personality happening. And I really had to learn. I was doing way too many things. And believe it or not, I pulled a lot of things out of my schedule. It may not sound like it, but I really have. Really under the elders here urging me to do that, insisting on doing that. And just the doctor, just saying, marvelous capacity, Jeff, but you don't have that same capacity.
Yeah.
And so,
well,
it's making me a better person, to be honest.
We are in our 60s.
Yeah.
But also, get rid of the caffeine, man. I struggle with that one too. My caffeine isn't coffee, it's Diet Coke, and I've cut down.
Two small cups in the morning, and that's about it.
There you go. All right, one more thing before I let you go, and you've mentioned it a lot, physical fitness. I have zero credibility to talk to anybody about physical fitness, but you have a lot of credibility with that. How do you keep physically fit? Because you're just as fit today as you were 25 years ago plus when I met you. And how do you work on that? How do you find time? How do you fit it in when you're writing sermons at 4:30 in the morning?
Well, it's a hobby too. I mean, I just get sheer enjoyment out of it. And to be honest, like today, if we had a terrible thunderstorm, in fact, half of the tree in my backyard was hit by lightning just today. But so I'm on the elliptical at Planet Fitness. I'm listening to some of the old podcasts from this broadcast, respecting myself and not wanting to be intimidated by the previous guests. So my exercise time is often the text that's going to be there for Sunday morning. That's when I meditate on it and do reflection on it. And I'm a multitasker, so it would be when I ride my road bike, I'm not listening to things because I'm not that I'm Tour de France. If I'm going too fast, I actually be distracted, but I'm thinking all the time. On a run, I'm praying. I intentionally jog through neighborhoods and call that my prayer jog, and we'll pray for those neighborhoods. We've got some real violent neighborhoods in this community, and even though it's a university town, and so I do what I call prayer jogs through there. So I'm redeeming that time. So I really don't have time for an hour to just exercise. It's got to be an hour doing something alongside that. And I mentioned my learning style, random abstract. It works perfectly for that. Running when you're in shape is just a wonderful time to just get lost. And I know that sounds weird to a lot of people. I mean, my face may look like I'm struggling, but I am smiling on the inside. A quick story. I was stretching one day at a stop sign. And this woman asked me if I needed, could give me a ride. I said, no, I'm just stretching. And she said, oh, I thought you were hurt. And I said, did I look that bad running? Because I thought I was really gliding down the street. She goes, I thought you were hurt. So I'm not, you know, I don't look as good as I used to when I run. I really don't have time for an hour to waste. So it's got to be, I need to be doing something, something spiritual alongside that. And I come away refreshed. When I did triathlons, I was, you know, national level guy back in Galesburg. The guys insisted that I take a day off a week, but I was training 2.5 hours a day. So my day off a week was in 2.5 hour snippets throughout the week. And I was a better person for it.
Yeah.
And, you know, so.
Well.
But bodily exercise profits a little. Godliness in every way. I mean, that's the scripture.
Yeah.
And so I'm well aware of that, too. Exercise can become a god. I've got buddies that are like that. You know, I did a Spartan race last May in Port Carson. It can be so addictive. And I see those men who are exercising, you know, losing their families, losing their kids. I don't want any part of that.
Well, I have, according to the psychologist at the seminary I went to, I have an addictive personality, but exercise has never been the addiction.
I'm a bit obsessive compulsive, so when I decide I want to do something well, I, you know, my backyard has, when I was doing the Spartan race, had a climbing rope, a bucket of rocks to carry around, and Jerry, in a Spartan race, you've got to throw a spear, and if you don't stick it, you got to do 30 burpees. So I had my deer target, my, you know, my deer hunting target in the back with a Spartan spear that I'm practicing.
Oh, wow. All right. The point of the story is, if you need help with your physical fitness, call Jeff Barkley.
And I need help with my preaching. If they want to go online and listen to me, I honestly would love the feedback. That's something I resisted in my early days, Jerry, and I think we all need to be evaluated more so than we want to be. That was a hard lesson, because nobody wants to be told they're not doing well.
Yeah.
But my job is to communicate. Our job is to communicate.
Yeah.
So
good stuff. Yeah. Hey, Jeff, thanks for your time today.
Oh, I'm humbled, brother. And, really
just been fantastic conversation. And I'm sure there's some little nuggets of help for the people who've listened.
Well, I hope so.
There are. Any last comments you want to make?
I know some of your other interviews you've asked, you know, what have a favorite Bible verse. And mine would be 1 Corinthians 4:2-3, it's required of stewards to be found faithful.
Yeah.
I just want to be a faithful steward.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I know that you are, and I know that you'll continue to be. Thank you for your time today. It's been a blessing.
You're doing a great job with this podcast. I'm going to be a regular listener. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. It's my training wheel podcast. It's the first one I've ever done, so I'm learning how to do it.
I think you take the training wheels off. I think you're doing great.
Well, thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it.
All right.
Lord bless you.
Have a great day.
Wasn't that good stuff? Jeff always has a lot to say, full of knowledge. He is that type A personality he talks about. He scatters a little here and there, but in between all of that is great help for us to preach better sermons in the future. Wasn't that idea of listen well a good one? I'm going to try and practice that more in the future. Hey, if you've got a response to today's podcast episode, drop me an email, jerry@jerryweb.me. I'd love to hear from you and hear what you're doing and how you're applying some of the things that we're exploring here as we move our way through the episodes of this podcast. Also, if you have a suggestion for someone I should interview, someone you'd like to hear from, send their name to me and contact information if you have it. I'll be glad to make the contact and see if they'd be willing to come on for an episode. I'll go after little fish, big fish, in between fish. We'll see who we can get to help us all preach better sermons. Have a great week.